I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the only Packers podcast available 365 days a year. We are bringing you our Thursday episode, episode 841. Jacob Westendorf cannot be with us today. He is under the weather, so thoughts and prayers. Hopefully he feels better quickly. But I am Maggie Loney. I'll be your host today. And as almost always, I am joined by Jimmy Christensen. We haven't done a show together in a couple weeks, so
yeah.
We are back. Jimmy, how's everything? How are you feeling?
Good. I'm getting back to normal. I feel pretty healthy and excited to be doing shows again this week. I did the Jamal show yesterday, and it was kind of like a little breath of fresh air after a week off. It was a nice week to just kind of relax and get, like I said, get healthy. But towards the end, I was like, oh, I kind of missed doing these shows. So it was nice to getting back to it.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better, and hopefully we have Jacob with us next week feeling just as well. But we today have, of course, the Packers defense and this Jaguars offense. And, you know, obviously it's only Thursday, so there is kind of a lot up in the air still for Sunday's game. What the injury report looks like now is not necessarily a clear indication of what we'll see on the field Sunday. But I figured for this episode, because, you know, a lot of people listening probably don't have a ton of familiarity with the Jaguars offense specifically, being that they're an AFC South team, we would just go position by position. So I think probably the biggest news right now is that Gardner Minshew is not actually practicing because he has that right thumb injury. So Jake Luton is likely going to be the quarterback for the Jaguars on Sunday. So what are some impressions you have of him? I'm not sure if you got to watch his game on Sunday or pieces of it, but he's kind of got a cannon.
Yeah, no, he definitely has an arm on him. And it was really impressive that last drive where he ran the ball in himself they had to get a 2-point conversion. So they didn't end up tying it, but it could have been a game tying drive to go into potentially go into overtime. He showed a lot of composure for a late round rookie. I don't know, at this point too, for him, it's, you can't really lose much, like going in and just slinging it and trying to make some throws that, you know, other quarterbacks wouldn't because they're worried about losing their starting job. But he's just coming in replacing Minshew. And if he can win the starting job, great, but he's going to have to make some impressive throws. And he was, obviously, there's still some things that the Packers defense could take advantage of, but he showed a lot of composure for a rookie last week. And I mainly only caught the last few minutes. I was in red zone, so they really focused on that. They focused on those guys at the end, but yeah, no, he has an arm, that's for sure.
He does, yeah. And I mean, looking at some of the numbers from last week's game, I mean, 288 passing yards, one of their better performances holistically as an offense so far this season, 25 points on the board. Like you said, it was a 2-point game at the end. They could have tied it up and gone into overtime with the Texans. So I thought it was a nice showing and something that the Packers left to keep an eye on. Probably the biggest issue, at least what I would think for this Packers defense right now, is the Jaguars running back, James Robinson, who is already in the conversation for Offensive Rookie of the Year. What are some of the things that you've seen from him? And I guess, how do you think he matches up against this Packers defense?
Honestly, any running back right now, I think, matches up pretty good against the Packers defense. But he's been really impressive. I was looking at the Jaguars' overall stats, and he's a workhorse for him. They only have around 700 total yards rushing on as a team, and he has over 500 of those. So like he has almost 600 of those. So he's really just like their workhorse, and he's, with Fournette not being there this season, he stepped right in, and he's on track for a really impressive rookie year. And I think if the Packers defense doesn't step up, and the run defense especially, they could be in for a long game, especially if the Jaguars just kind of want to do what the Vikings did and just have their quarterback barely throw the ball and just hand it off to James Robinson. Like, obviously he's not to the talent Dalvin Cook is. He is Cook's an elite running back, but James Robinson can definitely make some noise and make it a little scary game for Packer fans.
Yeah, James Robinson already has 805 yards from scrimmage on the season and 7 touchdowns, which is a lot. Like you said, most of those coming on the ground, but still a factor in the passing game for them. And depending on if some of their wide receivers can go this week, that could be an additional element to his game as well. But, you know, this is a Packers defense that last week against the 49ers, and say what you want about the 49ers roster, I know that they were really banged up, but the Packers only allowed 55 rushing yards all game. So that has to be a step in the right direction. And I know that it's hard to kind of give them too much credit, knowing the caliber of the players they were going up against and the fact that they gave up 173 yards rushing the week before to Dalvin Cook. But I guess before we switch to, you know, kind of the secondary against this wide receiving core for the Jaguars, what are some of your thoughts on this defensive front 7 for the Packers? And, you know, do you think that they're still kind of improving? Is the arrow pointing up, or was it kind of an outlier given the players they were going up against in Santa Clara?
The big thing is it seems, and I don't know, it's obviously terrible strategy, but it seems like their best run defense right now is just getting the lead and not letting offenses run the ball. Like that's a big factor on why they only had 55 yards last week. And I do have to give credit. Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith did really well last week, and Preston especially, cause he's been getting a lot of flack this season, but it seems these last few games, he's stepped up, made some plays. But I don't know. You want to see it more consistently. Last week was a step in the right direction. I want to see some more stats from Montrevious Adams. He's been doing pretty solid on the run defense, and especially for a player that I kind of counted out and just assumed he was going to be a last resort type of player. He stepped up a lot and is earning some more reps, but I think it was a step in the right direction, maybe a confidence booster, but I don't think it's a fair projection on what to expect going forward. I want to see it against a more established and healthy offense.
Yeah, I had mentioned this on Twitter earlier in the week, but I was kind of surprised. He looked good, obviously, but that Pro Football Focus had graded Za'Darius Smith's performance against the 49ers as the highest of his entire career. It was a 93.2 as far as a pass rush grade is concerned. And I mean, I think that you maybe would agree with me that some of his better games have looked like the Minnesota Vikings when they clinched the NFC North last season. So the fact that that was his highest pass rush grade, I thought was significant. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Preston Smith and the pressure that he forced, because something that we've seen this defense lacking so far this season is turnovers. And they're still getting, you know, a couple here and there, but, you know, the ability to generate pressure, I think, will lead to some of those turnovers. And this is a team to do it against, this Jaguars team. They have already given up 11 turnovers on the season, if my math checks out. Yes, it is 11. 4 games where they've already turned the ball over twice on offense. Only 1 game where they haven't turned the ball over at all, and that was their 1 win against the Colts. So what are your thoughts, I guess, on the turnover front? And do you think that it's, you know, just the Packers had kind of an anomaly last season where they had a ton of turnovers and they kind of came in bunches, and then, you know, the law of averages will bring them back to the middle? Or do you think that it is something that's lacking from their game in 2020?
It's definitely something that's lacking from the game. It's there was going to be a regression just because they did last season was just really impressive as a defense overall. But and the big thing, and you mentioned, is just pressure. They're still last in pressures on the quarterback, according to Pro Football Reference. They're last place. They're bottom 5 in pressure percentage. So it's just, that's a huge struggle. And when you get pressure on the quarterback, you're going to make them change the way they're throwing. Even if on like the follow through, they hit your helmet, that changes the ball. It's just a lot of things that just aren't happening. Or that happened last season aren't happening this year. And a lot of it could be changed from the pressure. And that is the biggest disappointment of the season so far, is that, because with the huge season that Preston and Za'Darius had last year and the expected role increase of Rashawn Gary, that was an area where we thought the team was going to be, I think maybe elite's the wrong word, but that was going to be a strength of their team. And it turns out it's actually one of the biggest weaknesses on the defense right now. But I think a lot of the stuff can change if we get some pressure, and that's going to create turnovers. We saw that last week with Preston and Raven Green.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't know if I necessarily agree that elite is too strong of a word. I mean, they had all the talent in the world last season. We talked about this, Perry and I, a little bit on Happy Hour, but the personnel didn't really change. I mean, beyond moving on from Blake Martinez and bringing in a guy like Kamal Martin, who's quicker, you know, the secondary is still cohesive. You have Darnell Savage supposedly making a second year jump. You have Rashawn Gary making a second year jump. You're expecting more from Kingsley Keke. I think that the expectation was there that this was going to be a really stout defense, and it hasn't necessarily aligned with what we were all expecting going into this season. So,
do you think so? I was looking at some of the stats earlier just in the season, and the Steelers lead the NFL with sacks with 32. The Packers only have 17. What do you think the biggest difference is? Is it just defensive scheme? Because I know the Steelers like to blitz a lot more than the Packers do, but like talent wise, you'd think the Packers talent for talent have it's pretty equal.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I make a really terrible joke and say that it's TJ Watt, and then all of Packers Nation gets upset. But no, yeah. I mean, I do think that there's a scheme issue. And we saw even last season, the Packers were able to generate pressure without calling a lot of blitzes. So Mike Pettine had that going. But when that's not the case this season, like we're seeing now, it's really hard to generate pressure, especially if you're rushing two or three and you're playing a lot of dime. And I haven't looked at the number of, or the percentages of, you know, this unit playing dime that they compared to 2019. But I do think that would be something interesting to look at and see, you know, how many times Mike Pettine's rolling out six DBs, especially in like third down situations where you just want to get your defense off the field.
Yeah.
But kind of going into that secondary then for the Packers, they could be a little bit shorthanded this week. The Jaguars have some pretty talented wide receivers. DJ Chark is a name, obviously, to keep an eye on. Laviska Shenault was somebody that I know a lot of Packers fans were interested in. He's limited with a hamstring injury, so we're not sure yet if he'll play. But he's like a really versatile player to watch. He's a lot of fun. Just a really unique football player. But, you know, in the Packers secondary, you know, Jaire Alexander has a concussion. He has not practiced yet this week. Kevin King is limited with a quad injury. Will Redman and Vernon Scott are both dealing with shoulder injuries, and they're still limited. So kind of depending on what that secondary looks like and who's available, what are some of your thoughts, I guess specifically if Jaire Alexander can't play and maybe if Kevin King can't go either?
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
That's what I'm nervous about. If Kevin King can come back, and I know that's shocking that I'm nervous about that, but if we really need one of them to be there just to DJ Chark is an extremely talented wide receiver. And I know they have Lutton at quarterback this week, but he's someone that defenses have to worry about. So I'm not confident. I know they moved Chandon Sullivan out last game when Alexander left with that concussion. So I guess Sullivan would be the guy on DJ Chark if both King and Alexander can't go. But even Keelan Cole is another wide receiver that you have to pay attention to. He only has 50 less yards than DJ Chark, and they're really complementary 1 and 2 player. I don't know. The wide receiver core is one that I think is sneaky good that doesn't get a lot of credit just because of the quarterback play has been so inconsistent. As much as I love Minshew Mania, obviously he's not really a starting or NFL starting level quarterback. So I don't know, for what these guys do week in and week out with the quarterbacks Jaguars are rolling out, they definitely can do some damage, especially if we're down our top two corners.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see more of Kadar Holman if he gets that opportunity. I thought that when he came in for Jaire, he looked really good. Something I've always liked about his game is that he tends to be really physical, and he's a really sure tackler. And I think that that's something, obviously, that this defense is missing. Same with Josh Jackson. You know, he might give up some yardage, but he always is pretty quick to make the tackle. And, you know, he had that penalty for I guess, an aggressive tackle. Yeah. And I thought that was ridiculous. But, yeah, you know, we're seeing a lot of physicality out of these corners. And I think that that's something that this defense hasn't had in a little while. So,
yeah,
I guess then what are your thoughts from the defense holistically and kind of what you saw on Thursday night against the 49ers? Obviously, again, the sample size is a little bit different with the talent that was on the 49ers roster, but I thought that they were tackling better. Mm-hmm. And we did see them get their first red zone stop of the season, which it's kind of crazy that after 8 weeks we had to address that. But that is a stat that they are improving in, I guess, now.
Yeah. Overall, and I we always have to keep saying this, but with the offensive 49ers put out there, I was impressed with the defense. The one big thing that kind of stood out to me, I felt like James just was finding the giant holes in our secondary, though. Yeah. It seemed like in the middle of the field, and we had that same problem with the Texans. The middle of the field is just wide open right now. So that's one area to worry about, because I think any quarterback, doesn't matter who you're putting out there, can hit a receiver with the closest DB 10 yards away in the middle of the field. So, that's one area to focus on. And last week, again, kind of pointed that out. But I really do think the big thing is just our defensive line stepping up this week. That's one thing I really want to focus on. I know it's I probably should have looked this. What's the Jaguars? He's a sophomore season.
Jawan Taylor.
That's it. Not Williams. That's what I know. He's been really struggling on the offensive line. So that's going to be Zadarius and Preston took advantage of Trent Williams' replacement last week. So seeing if they can do that again this week with another struggling tackle is going to be really nice to see. And that would help with, especially if we don't have Alexander and King in the secondary.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned the kind of the middle of the field being soft, because I know that, you know, it was basically 34-3 going into the fourth quarter, but I think what we're missing from this defense is kind of wanting to see them keep their foot on the gas. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Packers had kind of rolled out their third stringers at that point to give them some reps, but you still would like to see that from whoever's on the field. And I guess if you want to talk a little bit more about just, you know, we saw Kamal Martin's absence and he had kind of made a name for himself in the middle of the defense. Chris Barnes got hurt and had to leave the game. We're not sure if Christian Kirksey will come back this week. He could get activated off injured reserve, but Ty Summers was in there a little bit. Oren Burks was in there a little bit. Do you think that the issue is at middle linebacker, or do you think that this was just chalk it up to garbage time? It was 34-3 and Mike Pettine wanted to see his young guys.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I would say the issue is there's definitely an issue at middle linebacker or inside linebacker. I know with the, especially at the end of the game we saw, but there were some plays in the first. I don't know if it was the first drive. I think it was in the first quarter. There was just another one to James. It just stands out. I should be know exactly what if I'm going to complain about it, but it was soft in the middle, and I think it is an issue at linebacker. I know it's a little bit of a carousel right now with Kirksey being out, Martin in and then out because of COVID. Chris Barnes is out this week because of COVID as well, right, since he tested positive?
Yeah, he's still in the reserve protocol.
Yeah, and with his calf, who knows how healthy he actually is. I think just not having the consistency there definitely has been a problem, but I think overall talent, we just compared to some of the – I don't know. I get jealous of the teams like the Vikings who have Kendricks and especially the Buccaneers. But again, they have two stud inside linebackers and look what happened to them against the Saints. So I do think there's a talent issue at inside linebacker though.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the Buccaneers game, because by all accounts, you know, the Packers won the game that they needed to. It was a get right game for them. And the rest of the NFC North, or the rest of the NFC in general, kind of shook out exactly how the Packers needed it to. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks lost to the Bills. The Saints beat the Buccaneers. So the Packers are still pretty much tied for first in the NFC. And they have one of the easiest remaining schedules now kind of through their last half of the season. So the Packers do find themselves in a good position to get things right. But, you know, I think that we've talked about this on previous shows, and depending on where or how far you want to go as a team, you know, is this defense going to fix some of its mistakes, or is it going to be a defense that gives up 35 points, but that's okay because your offense can put up 42. So I guess the question for you is, do you think that that is something that the Packers will be able to clean up in the second half of the season? Or do you think it's just kind of going to be a track meet every time the Packers play a good team?
I think as the season goes on, I think hopefully I guess I'm just being optimistic, but I think by playoff time, they will right the ship a little bit. And I don't think it's going to be a drastic change of, oh my goodness, this team's a top 10 defense now. But I think they'll, instead of allowing teams score 35, we have them score 21, and then our offense can take advantage. But one of the big things is our defense, and it's not an excuse because this is almost every NFL team right now, but they haven't all been healthy at once. We've had Kirksey out, Clark missed time, Kevin King missed time. So it's not like we've had our full unit out on the field at their full strength for a lot this season. I think once, if they can get a couple games, just getting that feeling, everyone kind of fitting into the role that they're expected to play, I think that'll be huge for our defense. And obviously every team says if our team was healthy, we'd be better. But I think when the minor injuries kind of clear up, we'll see kind of that, that the defense gel a little bit more, and hopefully we'll play. Hopefully people in Green Bay start wearing masks and we can get a playoff game with some fans there to kind of juice the defense up.
Yeah. I mean, I did think that that was a key element going into Thursday's game. One of my concerns that I had was, you know, it seemed like after the Vikings lost, the excuse that we heard was that this team couldn't find the juice without fans in the stands. And then Santa Clara, they didn't have any fans at Levi's Stadium. So, you know, it was like, what's this Packers team going to look like? Are they going to come out flat again? Or will they be able to kind of make their own noise? And after hearing Za'Darius Smith talk post game, he had mentioned kind of reminding the team of that feeling when the 49ers ended their season in the NFC Championship game. And I think that those are the things that they need to tap into each week. You need to bring your own juice until, you know, we can have fans in the stands. So, you know, before we kind of wrap everything up, this is a Jaguars offense that ranks 26th in points for. This is a Packers defense that honestly 17th in the NFL in points against. So not terrible. For all the talk about giving up a ton of yardage on the ground, which of course is not excusable, they're not giving up an insane amount of points, which is a benefit. But I guess kind of knowing the scores and what we've seen from these teams the first half of the season, what would be your score prediction then for Sunday? Do you think that it's a blowout, or do you think that the Jaguars keep it close unnecessarily?
I think it's going to be really similar to what the 49ers game ended with, around like a 30, I'd probably say 38, 17, the touchdown and garbage time, but I don't see them keeping it too close. I think they definitely have the talent with James Robinson to make some noise on the offensive side and DJ Chark. But I think overall our defense is going to try to make another statement. I know last week with the 49ers was kind of they try to make it a statement game as much as you can against that offense. But I think this week, again, they're going to try to kind of keep that momentum going for when we do face a more complete team the following week with the Colts. They kind of have two games behind them that kind of have their confidence up. So I think it's going to be a 38. Yeah, I'll give it 38-17, but garbage time touchdown.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement that I think that there might be some scoring, but it likely will come when the game is out of reach. I joked on Happy Hour earlier this week, I was calling a 45-10 game. I don't think that the Jaguars only score 10, but I do agree with you. It's probably somewhere in the realm of 35 or 42 to maybe 17. I think that there will be some opportunities for the Jaguars to score points when the game is kind of, you know, out of the realm of them making a comeback. Go ahead.
It always makes you nervous with second string quarterbacks, just because, like, when we think of the Lions game last year when they did that reverse and then passed back to the quarterback for the touchdown, like, when you're in the state the Jaguars are, like, why not just throw everything but the kitchen sink at the defense? You know what I mean? Like, so we'll see. I really do expect a little bit of a trick play mainly. And that's also super selfish because I just love trick plays regardless of who's doing them. It reminds me of NFL Street. So we'll see.
NFL Street was such a good game.
Oh my gosh. I would buy that right now. If I would pay a ridiculous amount of money to buy that or to play that again.
Yeah, I agree. So if anybody listening has the in, Yeah. We would like that game back. But yeah, I mean, I know that we're not tasked with talking about the Packers offense, but they could get Alan Lazard back. You know, MBS had probably one of the better performances of his career. He had his first 2-touchdown game in the NFL. So, you know, I think that this is a Packers team that is still kind of figuring things out, but the arrow is in the right direction. You know, I don't think we're going to see another performance like we saw against the Buccaneers. I don't know if the Packers will go 14-2, but I think that these are little lessons along the way that are kind of helping. And like you said, this team is also getting healthy, which I think is a big factor. So do you have any final thoughts before we wrap the show with what I promised Andy Herman last week?
I don't have anything super special. I hope Alan Lazard comes back and can get a, and I know it's not much of a revenge game, but it's always nice to go back to the team that you were originally on and didn't bring you on their roster, then just ball out against them. Kind of a, you should have signed me little statement for him. So hopefully Lazard can come back.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's Tyler Irvin, Mercedes Lewis, yeah, and Nathaniel Hackett. There's a lot of players on offense that have a lot of history with the Jaguars. So it should be a good game on Sunday.
Maybe we'll see some Aaron Rodgers suck it signs. That's always my favorite.
I hope so. I actually won a drop in dimes and suck it signs shirt.
Oh, really?
From the Pat McAfee show. And I'm still waiting for it to arrive. So hopefully it does by Sunday, but
we'll have to match one show. Cause me, you and Jacob all have one.
That's amazing. Okay. We'll do that. Maybe next week, but
all right.
If you follow me or the Packaday podcast or Andy Herman on Twitter, after Devontae Adams' performance on Thursday Night Football, Andy had asked me if I would write a new poem about Devontae Adams instead of Za'Darius Smith. And I did find out, you know, if you follow us on Twitter, Andy Herman's birthday was yesterday. So as the Packaday Podfather, as I call him, I did agree to write a poem. So before we wrap the show, I will read the poem on Andy's, per Andy's request. And then we can tell you where to find us on social media. So this is called Ode to Devontae Adams. This is an ode to Devontae Adams, whose routes are so crisp that it's hard to fathom. On a scale from 1 to 10, you're more like a 17. Your footwork is so impressive. It's the best I've ever seen. Top receiver in the league. It's just not up for debate. You can only eat what's in front of you, and there's cornerbacks on your plate. Breaking records just like ankles. We hope you'll always stay the league's most explosive weapon, a wide receiver we call Tay. Thank you.
I loved your thank you. I had to mute myself so I didn't laugh during it. That was good.
Thanks. You know, I got to use this English degree somehow because it's definitely not in my day job. But all right, Jimmy, we are out of time for today's show. Where can all of the listeners find all of your incredible work on social media?
You can find my work. I don't know how incredible it is, but you can find Jim. Just if you follow me on Twitter, Jimmy_C08, you'll find all of my stuff. I post my articles for Packer Report on there. I'm talking with Jacob now and be having some more, having an article kind of come out with Game On. They have some really cool things in the works. But besides that, yeah, follow me on Twitter and you'll get all my live shows. The Jamal Williams show on Tuesday for charity. Please donate. We have a lot of cool stuff. Cousin Subs just sponsored us or donated. And so we can say they're sponsored. Nice. And I bought a sub there the other day for the first time since I had those, those free ones in grade school. And it was delicious. It reminded me of second grade lunch. So yeah, follow me on Twitter. You can get all my stuff there. Jimmy_C08.
And you can find me on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney. I write 2 articles a week for Cheesehead TV. I also podcast with Perry Goldstein for the Packs What She Said podcast. We just dropped some merchandise. Feel free to check that out. It's on the Cheesehead TV Teespring. You can also catch me and Perry on Mondays doing the Game On Wisconsin Happy Hour. And then some of our Pack-A-Day hosts are participating in Movember, where they are growing mustaches for charity. Jake Morley, my husband is doing it on my behalf because my mustache is not nearly as impressive as his will be by the end of the month. Jimmy is sporting a mustache that none of you can see right now as we record. Jacob's doing it and a couple other team members. So you can find that Pack-A-Day podcast team for Movember called Stash-A-Day. And make sure that if you're in the giving mood, you donate a couple bucks to all these guys that have some really unique facial hair that they'll be sporting for the rest of the month. So thank you, as always, for listening to the Pack-A-Day podcast, the only Packers podcast available 365 days a year. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack.